You're listening to the BeyondCast, the official podcast of Beyond Student Ministries. Located in Seattle, Washington, we're all about faith, mission, and reality. Join us as we look at Jesus the Revolutionary in the Gospel of Luke. Not doing enough, but really, that's not my heart, and that's not the heart of any of the youth staff or anybody. We don't want to just come and beat you up and say, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But the truth is, we have to do it. Not just you, but me and the youth staff and the pastors. We all have to be doing this. We all have to be working on the mission of God. How many of you guys know our church's mission statement? Jesse, what is it? That is correct, and that's the first blank there. Our church's mission statement is helping people discover, trust, and love Jesus Christ. And so where did we get this idea? Where did we come? It's not something that we just were like, hey, you know what sounds good? Discover, trust, love. That looks good. And hey, what if we put it up on a big banner? Man, that would look pretty. No, it's not that. The mission is not something that Don went away on a fishing trip and said, hey, let's discover, trust, and love. How about that? The mission is straight from the Bible. The mission is nothing new. The mission is nothing like creative. It's just what Jesus told us to do. And if you have a Bible, and there should be Bibles all over the place, we're going to be hopping around. So you want to grab a Bible. You want to grab a Bible and look at it. Open up to Matthew 28. The last chapter in Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 28. So, all right, when you get there, say hot tub. You're not even opening a Bible. Come on, let's go. There you go. Matthew 28. While you're turning there, I just want to thank Troy again. Thank you for driving out. Troy drove all the way out from Monroe to help us out tonight, so I appreciate that. He's the man. I have a lot of Troy stories, but I won't embarrass him yet. Maybe later. This is on the podcast now, so I don't want to go around the world to China for our 8 downloads there. So, Matt, we all there? We all there? Matthew 28? I only heard one hot tub for real. So, okay, there we go. Matthew 28. We're looking at we'll start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Of course, I mean, Jesus was dead 40 days ago. He rose up and people were like, what? It's hard to get your mind around somebody being dead and then not dead. Try it sometime. So some doubted, which is understandable. But then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus is saying, go and make disciples. And that's what our mission statement is saying. It's about discovering who Jesus is, learning to trust him and listen to him, and then learning to love him and do whatever you can to love him and worship him and serve him. And so that's our mission. And as a youth ministry, we took the word people and replaced it with students. Clever, huh? Helping students discover, trust, and love Jesus Christ. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's really not. And so tonight what I want to talk about is what we're doing, why we're on this mission. And the first thing is that we were rescued by Jesus to rescue others. You weren't, you know, you're not like so special that, you know, Jesus loves you more than anybody else. Your mama might, but not Jesus. Jesus loves everybody, you know, and he wants you to love them. He wants you to realize that you were rescued. Now go help rescue other people. And what were you rescued from? Anybody? Anybody? What were you rescued from? Sin. Thanks, Jordan. Double brownie points for you. Bing. Bing. There you go. That's two. Flipping your Bible to Romans chapter 3. I got a new Bible here, so the pages don't turn very easily. If you ever want to give somebody a gift that is meaningful and deep, give them a Bible, because then it's full of meaningful and deep things. Chapter 3, verse 23. Yeah. So, I'll start. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of the observing the law? No, but on that of faith. So Jesus came and rescued us, not because we're so good, but because he's so good. Because he's so incredibly graceful. Jesus came, died, and rescued us from our sins, and he waited for just the right time in history to come and die for the world. And now here we are, and you know, if you're a follower of Christ, you have that grace. But it's not yours to keep. It's not yours to hold on to. It's not yours to hoard. It's yours to share. It's yours to pass around. You know, a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, I spoke on Sunday morning, and I talked about how evangelism is like a virus, and we need sneezers. We need people to sneeze the gospel. And my son, Judah, who's really cute, and I have a picture on my cell phone if anybody wants to see later. He's amazing. He's got a cold right now, which is lame, because a couple reasons. One is it's not as fun when you like hold him up over your head and snot like falls right on your head. That's disgusting. It just is. Even, you know, it's gross. But the other problem is that, you know, he sleeps and he doesn't take his pacifier because he can only breathe through his mouth. So all night he's like, ah! It's like, dude, come on, man. Knock it off. And so you go in and you put your pacifier in and he's like, because he can't figure out that when you breathe out, you don't have to make noise. You know, like, I don't know what it is, but I don't know when he gets it, but I hope soon. But he's sick. And, you know, one of the things, like, that we have to do, being, you know, responsible parents, is we can't take him around other kids, because what happens with a cold? It spreads. Now, you know, that's kind of the anti-example, but, like, if the gospel's really in you, If you have really grasped hold of what Jesus has done for you, then you can't help but spread it. You know, in the book of Acts, if you ever want to read about a really crazy group of people, read about the first disciples who got up on, you know, Pentecost day and they were like, hey, follow Jesus. And 3,000 people repented right then. And then they went house to house. And every day people were coming and serving God and getting baptized. I mean, that's people who really got a hold of the gospel, who really understood that Jesus died for me. And he didn't just die for me, he died for everybody. And that's the heart that we need to have. So I have a couple things that we need to have. It's a couple of ingredients to become sneezers of the gospel. Gospel sneezers. First thing, you need to have passion for people who are far from Jesus. You need to have passion for people. How many of you guys know? I mean, Troy talked about it. You know somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Do you love them? Thank you, Lydia. It was more of a rhetorical question, but I'm proud of you. But think about it. Like, do you really love them? Not like, oh man, they're cute, or oh man, they're pretty sweet. Thanks, Serena. I thought you were asleep. All right. It's good to see you. But do you really love them? Like, do you love them enough to tell them the truth? Do you love them enough to say, you know what? Jesus has changed my life. Then the next question is, has Jesus changed your life? Because Jesus has this incredible love that is not just for us, and it's not just, like I said, if you get it and you grasp hold of it, you can't help but just explode it and just like spread it all over the place, because he really, really loves you. And have you guys ever been in love, like, or thought you were in love? I know you're all pretty young, but Matt's married. He's been in love. Troy, you better be in love, man. Yeah, still are. Yes. Good. I'm proud of you. There's something about love, and Troy can attest to this, because Troy has known me as long as I've known Kathy. And, there was a time in my life when I was a confused young man. And I was like, man, I'm not going to date anybody. My senior year, I was like, I'm not going to date anybody. I'm just going to devote myself to the Lord. Remember this? Yes. And then Kathy comes along. and I'm devoting myself to the Lord, and Kathy's here, and I'm like, man, this girl is hot. And I'm like, man, I gotta hang out with her, but I'm not dating her, I'm just hanging out. We're just going to the park and eating ice cream and sitting and watching the beach and the ducks and everything. That's not the date. That's not a date. It's not a date. Yeah, we did that. And you know, there's something about it though. There's a moment where I was like, you know what? This is God's gift to me. Kathy is really my gift from God. He's like, here's the best thing that's ever going to happen to you other than Jesus. And it's true. And I was like, man, I was missing it. But as soon as I admitted, like, man, I'm in love with Kathy, I couldn't help but talk about her. I couldn't help but say how awesome she is. I couldn't help but be with her. I couldn't help but just spout my love for her. I was writing poems, and there's something about a dude like me who is not really very like artsy to write a poem. I mean, you've really got to be in love, all right? I'll be honest. I haven't written a poem in quite some time, but because I ran out of ideas. Not because I don't love Kathy, but because it's like, man, I wrote so many. Like, our first 3 months of dating, I, like, had a book. And I'm like, here, babe, read these. And she's like, these are the worst poems ever, but I love you anyway. And it's like, my love is like a duck floating gracefully on the waters of Lake Washington. I'm like, Washington. What rhymes with Washington? So it was bad. But anyway, when you love somebody, you can't help but get... spread it around. And so when we have passion, it's the same kind of thing. If we love people, we're going to tell them about the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. We're going to tell them about Jesus. And I have a verse that we need to talk about passion here. Romans 6:23. How many of you guys have ever heard of the Roman road? All right. Emily? Jesse? All right. This is kind of traveling down the Roman road a little bit. Not too long, but 6:23. You know, I'll start with 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So if you've been set free, man, you give your whole life to God, and it's like, man, I'll serve him. He set me free from death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And when you give up your life and say, man, I'm following Jesus with everything I have, that's worth it. And you start to get passion because you realize that it's not just a game. It's not just coming into youth group on Sunday night and cell groups. It's not just about going to events every once in a while and going up to Mount Baker on February 19th through 21st, and it's going to be awesome. It's not just about those things. But Paul gives us an equation, and math is not my strong suit. And so it's all equal signs. It's not plus. It's not minus. It's all equal signs. So he says wages for sin equal death, which equals eternity in hell. Because everybody dies, but not everybody dies. It's kind of like you like somebody, but you like them. There's a difference in that. There's a die, all right? And die is hell, all right? I'm just breaking it down. But what? I'll keep going. God's grace equals life, which equals eternity in heaven, all right? So there's die, which is a destiny in hell, and then there's life, which is eternity in heaven. With God and living for him today. So those things give you passion. When you start to really realize that it's not just a game. It is not just a game. And, you know, we don't like to talk about hell because it's, you know, we get these Disney-like images where it's like there's a fire and a pitchfork and like there's a little angel duck over here and a little demon duck over here. Anybody seen that cartoon? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, ducks. Aren't they all ducks? Anyway, But I'm stuck on ducks tonight. That's like my fourth reference. Anyway. So, you know, you got to realize that this is a real thing. This hell is real. Heaven is real. And, you know, we are the people that God has said, you know what? Bring people. Bring people to me. Bring them so that they can find life and grace and love in Jesus. The next thing you need is you need to know the story. How many of you guys like a good story? What's the best movie you've ever seen? Ever. Cinderella, great story. I'll be honest, that's a great story. Yeah, it's the gospel. Anyway, what else? I'll talk to her later. What else? Great movies. Fuck, Raina, that is one of my favorite movies of all time. Because the fox's name is Todd, and that's my middle name. And like, I remember my mom, and that's funny. My mom would bought it and brought it home, and I remember walking around the house going, I'm a hound dog. You know, I love that movie. And I saw it on a DVD and I was like, I gotta get it. Gotta get it. But that's a great movie. Thank you. Anyway, and what's that? What? Zorro means fox? But that's not a very good movie. All right. I'm so confused. What else? What's your favorite movie? What's that? Casablanca, also a great movie. Lion King. All right, we're kind of on a Disney theme, and that's all right. Anchorman. Does that have any kind of story? Okay, I haven't seen it. It's silly. It's rambunctious. Okay, but the reason we love great movies is because of the story. You wouldn't watch a movie where it's like, hey, I filmed grass. It's like, oh man, let's see what kind of conflict grass has. It's like every other week a mower comes by. And the grass blade's like, ah! And then it comes back next week, it's like, I'm all better. Ah! You know, that's the most boring movie you'd ever see. Ever. I thought about making it, got shot down. But we love movies because of the story. There's somewhere in the story that we relate to. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time, Fox and the Hound, of course, because I relate to the fox. You get hunted. It's all kinds of stuff. But one of my favorite movies of all time was Forrest Gump, actually. That's what I was going to say. It's one of the best movies ever. Because if I was going someplace, I was running. Anyway, I'm tangential. But Forrest Gump, one of the reasons why I love Forrest Gump is because I relate to Forrest. Because we've all had those moments where, I don't know, maybe it's just me, where you're the least likely person to succeed. And somehow you end up where you are for that exact moment. And every time Forrest was like in the most unlikely places, he found a way to get through it and to succeed. You know, and I look at Forrest Gump, and this is getting deep with one of the, you know, arguably cheesiest movies ever made. But you look at Forrest, and he never had a bad attitude. And it's something like, man, I wish I could be like him. You know, anybody else want to be like Forrest? Man, he's simple. Life, he never, like, had any real problems. It's like, and then Jenny left, but she'd come back. Until Jenny died, and then I cried. Jenny dies. Sorry. You haven't seen it? Oh, yeah, but still watch it. It's a great movie. But there's two stories that we need to know. There's two stories that we need to know, other than movies and Fox and the Hound, which maybe movie night sometime, Fox and the Hound. I know, we'll all cry. There's two stories we need to know. I'm getting back on top. The first story is God's story. If you're going to be able to share your faith and talk to people, you need to know what God has done. And where do you find God's story? The Bible. Okay, first thing. How many of you guys are reading the Bible? Let's be honest. Reading the Bible. Good. Keep it up. If you're not reading the Bible, start. And if you don't know where to start, start with Matthew. Thank you, Jessica. That was awesome. I do. Repetition is the mother of memory. And memory is the mother of boredom. but start with Matthew and just find out who Jesus is. And just work your way through. But read the Bible because this is the most important story ever. And one of these days, they're going to make a movie about the entire thing. Even Ehud and Eglon, which is my favorite story. Judges chapter 3. Look it up. The left-handed swordsman who kills the fat man. I relate to so many people in that story. He kills King Eglon, who was Gigantor. Yes, swords go in there and stuff comes out. Yes, it's beautiful. But, you know, what's God's story? And here's a little... I have to remind myself to read the Bible. I'll just be honest. Can I be honest with you guys? You know, I'm just a dude, right? That's what the kids are saying, right? But I'm just like a regular guy. I have to remind myself to read the Bible. And so I have built a system in my life to read the Bible, okay? And it took me a while to set up because I'm a total nerd, but I had to do it. Build a system for your life. Maybe if you're like, you know, you spend more time watching TV than you should, put a sticky note or like scratch it onto the screen, whatever you got to do, is to say, read the Bible. Or maybe you play Xbox a lot and you talk to people from around the world on your Xbox. Put a sign on there. If you're spending more time on the Xbox than you should, read the Bible. Or maybe you read a lot of books, but you don't spend as much time reading the Bible. Read the Bible. What? Change your screen name? What? Oh, on whatever. Okay, so read the Bible. Read the Bible. I'm gonna say this over and over. If you guys graduate from high school and you remember one thing from anything I say, you're gonna remember this. I should read my Bible because I'm gonna say it over and over and over because I'm a total nerd and this is the greatest book ever written. So read the Bible. The second story you need to know is your story. Your story. We all have a story. And what has God done in your life? And you know, some here are church kid, you like, your mom was pregnant 9 months and her water broke during the third hymn and she stood up and, but she tripped and fell and you popped out and you started singing I Surrender All. And you always have been in church. All right. That's your life. Okay. Some of you are like that. I'm almost that. I became a Christian at 5 years old and I've been in church ever since. 3 years old. Look at you. Awesome. You know, and sometimes we hear these stories, like testimonies, like I was totally strung out on crack and then Jesus showed up in my Jeep and he said, stop it. And I stopped, you know, and those are pretty amazing stories. And we're like, man, I wish I had a cool story. But if you're a church kid, man, I just got to tell you, you have the best story ever, ever, because God has spared you from so much. And if you're not, you know, if you could say, you know what, God hasn't spared me from much. I've done a lot of stupid stuff. There's always a time to change the course of your story. And now's a good time to change the direction and say, you know what, this is where God showed up in my life and changed me, changed my course. So we're going to talk about that in cell groups. But what's your story, man? Do you know how to tell your story to people? Do you know how to like share that? Like, man, I've always gone to church. Or man, I used to do all kinds of stuff, fight with my parents, you know, sell, you know, guns to Nicaraguans, all kind of things. I don't like to talk about it. And then the last thing you got to know, the last ingredient is you got to know your gifts. And this is important, and I think it's often overlooked when it comes to sharing your faith, because so often we think there's only one way to share the love of Jesus. I think there's only one way to really do this. And like maybe it's the linebacker guy. We think that's what an evangelist looks like. Or maybe it's somebody who walks around handing out tracts. You know, you guys know what tracts are? Good. Tracts are probably the least effective way of evangelizing. It's basically saying to somebody, here, throw this away for me. But, you know, maybe that's what we think it is. Or maybe it's like the guy who stands down on the corner at 5th and Pine and he like plays his banjo and harmonica and then he sings and then he tells you, turn or burn, you know, and he gets his megaphone out and you're like, okay, I don't know. Or, yeah, televangelists, which don't have the greatest image either. Yeah. You know, that we might think that that's what evangelism looks like, but it's not. And there's lots of stuff in the Bible about spiritual gifts, and we have spent some time looking at them. 1 Corinthians 12 through 13. What's that? Are you there already? Wow. I wasn't actually going to read it, but okay. I was just kind of referencing it. 12 through 13 lists whole bunch of gifts. But there's one specific thing that you need to know. You can have gifts and you can have grace and you can operate in your gifts. And maybe your gift is, man, I just like to serve people and show them love of Jesus that way. That is awesome. Maybe you are more outgoing and you're like, man, I just got to get up and preach. That is awesome too. But there's one principle for all of it. If I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that is the guiding principle in our mission, is love. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can do all kinds of service. You can do all kinds of miracles, all kinds of acts. But if you don't love people, they won't care. You got to love. You have to love people. And that is mission, man. You got to know the story. You got to know your gifts. And you got to know that you were rescued. And you got to have passion for lost people. You got to love them. And so we're going to pray. And then we'll be...